Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8:47 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. He is Matt Weirich. What's going on, Matt?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Doing well, man. Baltimore Orioles, first, I know this seems weird, but the first time they won consecutive games. Also, the first time they've won a series this year. They won two in Toronto, but that was a split. The Baltimore Orioles record right now, it is 8-10. Are they an 8-10 team, or are they a better team just who has an 8-10 record?
Well, I mean, I think considering all the injuries they've had so far, if you told them that at the start of February they were going to lose Zach Eflin, Gunnar Henderson for the first week, Grayson Rodriguez, and Colton Cowser gets hurt, you know, five games in, and they're going to end up 8-10, I think they'd take it. You know, this is obviously a team that when they're going right, they look great. They look like the team that we saw in the first half of last season. I mean, their wins are impressive wins. So they look like a team that has the potential to be better than 8-10, but certainly I think the injuries have held them back, coupled with the slow start offensively and the lack of pitching depth. You know, a lot of things factoring in here, but if they can kind of get clicking, I think they're certainly a higher ceiling than a 500 team.
That said, I think we all agree with you. We all think they're a playoff team. However, the injuries have occurred, and the pitching staff just doesn't look that good. Can a team who has this pitching staff or pitching staff like this actually advance in a postseason? Because it seems like pitching is key once the season's over.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, I think that if they have the pitching staff right now in October, I wouldn't imagine they're going to go very far. They're hopeful that Grayson Rodriguez's injury with the setback he had in his shoulder isn't too much. You can envision by the end of the year a playoff rotation that consists of Grayson Rodriguez, Zach Eflin, Kyle Bradish, and whoever emerges potentially as a number four. That's an impressive rotation. Maybe they would go out and get somebody at the deadline as well, but you know, a lot of things have to break right, and we saw last season that holding your breath and hoping that guys don't come back from injury okay is just not necessarily something you can bank on. So what this rotation looks like, you know, in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months is anyone's guess at this point. So they just kind of have to hope that some of these injury things.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Break their way.
I kind of hate the fact that we had to wait for a few injuries to get Kiersted out there almost on a daily basis, first with Cowser, and I know O'Neill's got some stuff that's barking as well, but what are your thoughts on what you've seen from Kiersted? We all thought he had a major league bat and questioned some of his defensive ability, made the great play and right, and we're seeing him hit a couple bombs down. I think he could get hot quick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, I think he's looked great so far, even though the numbers weren't super impressive right off the bat. His exit velos were good. He was hitting the ball all over the field to a point where Brandon Hyde was even talking about maybe having him pull the ball a little bit more just because he can really get a hold of it, as we saw last night when he does. I think that the sky's the limit for Kerstad. He's got 30 homer potential if he could play on a regular basis. The Orioles have started to play him against some more lefties as we've seen. He's stuck in games even when lefty relievers have come in and rewarded his manager's faith in some of those situations. So now that Couser is down and potentially with O'Neill dealing with some neck discomfort, he's really got some runway here, and he's a guy I really expect to run with it.
Matt Wyward joins us, Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Matt, I think it was Wednesday. I was very, very shocked to hear Mike Alas open up the way that he did about possible contract extensions. He said there are guys on this team that we would like to have on this team longer than they're currently slated for. It's not a point-and-shoot thing. He goes on and says it's something we want to do if it makes sense. Your thoughts on his comments about extending young players?
Yeah, you know, the Orioles under Mike Elias have always talked about sustainability, right, and being competitive in the long term. And you look at what would this team would look like in the years past its current competitive window, and you just don't really see a whole lot of projectable talent. I mean, the Orioles always had, you know, coming up these past few years, one of the best farm systems in baseball. And, you know, once these guys are in the current window are moving on, they're going to have more to fill up. But now they've kind of depleted that farm system, making some trades the last couple of years, and they don't necessarily have the next man up that you can kind of see down the line. So they need to extend some of these young guys just to ensure that they're going to have bankable talent long term. And it's going to come at a cost. It always does when you sign, you know, young stars to long term deals. But certainly this team, you know, with its makeup, and it could be competitive for a long time. So I would be shocked if they weren't trying to extend some of these guys. And obviously it takes two to tango, and a lot of these guys are rep by Scott Boras. There's lots of factors there, but ultimately I think that for this team to be competitive long-term, some of these guys have to be locked up.
Speaking of what you're talking about, the young guys, what do you think the future holds for Cedric Mullins?
You know, it's definitely a tough spot, as we saw with Austin Hayes and Anthony Santander the last year. With all of these younger guys coming up, there's less room maybe that you can project down the line. Mullins has obviously been so important to this team. And when he's right, you know, he's a gold glove caliber center fielder. He plays all over the lineup. We've seen him hit leadoff. We've seen him hit in the cleanup spot. He has the power to do that. He has the speed to get on base and steal bases. He can just really do it all. And it's a question of how long do you think he can do it for, and how expensive might he be to continue providing that. And, you know, with what he means to this fan base and really just what we've seen so far, he's been the most valuable hitter on this team. I think he's showing that he still has plenty left in the tank. And, you know, while it might be tough with the younger guys that have coming up, there's definitely, you know, is room, I think, in the long-term outfield picture for Cedric Mullins to stick around. It's just a question of how interested the Orioles are in signing somebody into their 30s.
Who's facing Hunter Green tomorrow?
Sorry?
Who's facing Hunter Green tomorrow? As we got the TBD, and it sounds like we're calling somebody up from the minors. Is that what you expect?
That seems to be what they're going to do, is be calling up Brandon Young. You know, obviously nothing is official yet, but they had Young hang back in Aberdeen when AAA Norfolk went out to Omaha this week. So that, to me, just suggested that they wanted to keep him nearby to be able to be called up. Obviously, it would involve a roster move. Somebody would have to be sent down and everything, but he's already on the 40-man roster. He's really their only starting pitcher that's on the 40-man roster who is not either hurt or on the active roster at the moment. So he's kind of the only logical choice if the team doesn't go with a bullpen game. So I'm fully expecting Young.
Yeah. Hunter Green, by the way, if people haven't been watching, has been arguably the best pitcher in baseball this year. He's got 31 Ks, 2-1 with a point. Let me get my glass on. I can't see anything. 0.98 ERA.
No one can see that ERA. Yeah. It's not
those
just you.
Numbers were too small. You had to get your glass
on. Right. Oh, my God.
ERA was that small.
He's been that good.
Matt, you are the man. Tell folks on the Big Bad Morning Show how they can follow you on Twitter.
Absolutely. I'm over there at By Matt Wyrick and Instagram as well.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right. I love I'm completely biased, but I think the guys and women who cover this team are sensational at what they do. I do. The relationships that they establish and some of the inside stuff they get, they go to work to work. They ain't just hanging around. You read some of these stories that they have, that's from relationships that they build, and players not afraid to tell them things.
Yep.
I think they do a great job at it.